Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is on the air. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum is a call to arms for those American patriots who, in the tradition of our founding fathers, will stand up now to defend the Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees to each citizen, to each of us. That is our mission, to explain in a clear and concise manner the direct effect of each issue on the individual, on you personally, not some anonymous being in a distant place, and to define in no uncertain terms the consequences of inaction. Let the battle begin.
Rhonda Thomas, our guest on Freedom Forum Radio. Rhonda Thomas is the founder of Truth in Education and Georgians for Responsible Libraries. We're talking about some things that are happening in schools, and obviously Truth in Education is another part of your advocacy and activism, and that's what we really have been talking about here, and I'm glad we are. This is especially frightening to me because unless you are completely active in the school life of your child, this is happening unknown to you, and the child is not necessarily going to come home and talk about it. I mean, when we were raising our kids and they came home from school, they brought their books and we did their math homework, their science homework, and whatever. We were dealing with actual educational issues with them. We didn't get into, because they didn't get into social issues and all this, the mental health stuff that you've been talking about. The schools didn't do that. They had a math problem or a math book or a science book or a social studies book or an English book, and they were trying to write an essay or do homework, and we did help with it. We helped them, of course. Obviously, what's going on in schools now, what is so frightening is when these kids come home, they're not going to be bringing these problems home. They're not going to be telling their parents, oh, I had a survey today, and I found out that I'm a furry, or, I can go ahead and I can order marijuana for myself or puberty blocking drugs because I'm 13 and a half years old. So these are not subjects that are going to be discussed in your home unless you go down to the school and say, what is going on in this school? I need to know what you're teaching my children.
Yes. And I believe, quite honestly, the high schoolers we have right now are either completely bought into it or they understand and they share with their parents. But let's think about the preschoolers. Let's think about daycare. Social emotional learning is in daycare. They are not missing a beat. And so you think about the younger children going through this and being indoctrinated with all of this, they're not going to tell their parents anything because to them it's going to be normal. They're not even going to think it's an issue to talk to their parents about. And quite honestly, even for those of us that are involved in our churches, how many hours a week are we at church? Think about the hours they are in these schools. It is very difficult to come against what's happening in those schools. And they're very manipulative in the way they do it. So every morning, these classes start out with wellness circles. What do they do in those wellness circles? Well, the counselor or the teacher is finding out what their feelings are for the day, and they're going to work through their issues. Well, I attended the American School Counseling Association's conference here in Georgia this past last July, and those counselors are indoctrinated. And most of what's happening in our schools now is coming through the school counselors. They're no longer college and career counselors. In fact, in Georgia, we passed a law last year that now they are considered professional counselors. That is very deceptive when you think of a parent thinking that they're sending their child to a professional counselor when, in fact, they're a college and career counselor. But they are bringing most of this into the school system. We advocate for parents never to use a school counselor for anything. They should sign an opt-out form. They should have it notarized. We have opt-out forms for sex ed and the different things you can opt out of. But we also suggest you send it in, have an attorney send it in for you, because they ignore those many times. We've had parents in another county that they were offering their children a pizza party if they would complete surveys, because the states make money off these surveys. It affects their climate rating. So anything, we highly recommend opting out of anything you can opt out of, and especially school counseling. No school counselor, no wellness circles. That's very, very important, because it's, and of course, it's getting harder, quite honestly, to opt out of SEL because it's woven through every subject. You really can't opt out of it, but you can opt out of any visits with a school counselor. But however, SEL now is designed to be a part of every subject in the school. So you really can't opt out of SEL anymore. It's being used in every subject.
Obviously, it would be very beneficial to be able to reach parents. How do you do that?
This is the hardest thing. We've got to pray a lot that we can get parents to wake up, because quite honestly, Satan is good, isn't he? They're very busy. Most of them, both of them work. They're tired. Now they've got to come home and they're caring for their children. Everywhere we go, it's usually the older people like me, the grandparents, and that are out and that are listening and waking up. So we try. There are a few younger parents that are coming forward. But quite honestly, Dr. Dan, that's one of our biggest issues. And it's not just us. We're hearing it across the board, across the states. So what does that mean? God has given us an opportunity to step up. We need to mentor these young moms. We need to educate these moms. We need to go out and do Bible studies with these moms. We need to come alongside them. There are a lot of moms that would love to maybe even pull their children, but they're fearful of doing it. I think it's our time as grandparents and older adults. We need to stand up and we need to get more involved. And because it is harder for these young people, we put a lot of pressure on them. They are all working because the system is against them not to work. So we need to, I believe, be that voice for them, and also to be those mentors, and whom our families first, right? So we need to start with our families, and then we need to reach out into our churches, and we need to let these young women know what's happening. Visit Bible studies, visit Sunday schools, whatever we can do to let them hear this and understand what's happening. But that's going to take all of us, because it is, as much as I hate to say it, they're fearful. Some of them don't want to know because they don't know what to do about it. And they know it will change. Literally, this will change your life, because once you know what's happening in those schools, it is very difficult. You have a tough decision to make. Are you going to leave your child there to be indoctrinated and to possibly look at the children that we're hearing more and more about, that is probably more than we realize, but we're beginning to hear stories about children that want to transgender and the parents don't agree with it. So they're taking them away from the parents and they're putting them on Medicaid and they're doing the surgeries. Parents don't realize how few rights they have left. I guess that's the big thing. We think we do, but we hear it all the time. In fact, they look at the child's rights before they do the parent's rights. They have agency. We don't. We're the oppressors in many circumstances when you look at how the school treats parents.
We're talking with Rhonda Thomas of Georgians for Responsible Libraries. We've gone way beyond libraries, and we're now in the truth and education effort and activism. She's a true warrior for not only her children and grandchildren, she's a true warrior for your children and your grandchildren. And she's imploring you to get off the sofa, because that's the problem. If we do not get off the sofa and fight for our children and grandchildren, they're lost. They're lost because of what the government is doing by taking away parental rights. I know that I am very, very blessed to live where I live. I live in a rural county. Approximately 15% or 20% of the children here are homeschooled. They're homeschooled for every single reason that you have just talked about, because parents here understand that you have to teach your own children moral right and moral wrong in order for them to grow up to be responsible adults. And part of that whole concept is not allowing them to be brainwashed by the government in government schools. Yes, it is very important that we intervene. A lot of parents just don't understand the urgency of this problem. How do you reach the people that we need to wake up, to get off the sofa and go talk to these children?
By doing what we're doing right now, Dr. Dan, doing this podcast, sharing information. I want to share a story with you, though, because I had a gentleman that's 74 call me probably 3 months ago. And he said, I want to talk to the school board. You've got to tell me how to do it and what to say. So I said, okay, let's talk about that. So he was sharing what was going on. And he said, Rhonda, I had a friend I was talking to a year ago. And I said, someone should do something about what's happening in these schools. And she says, well, you're someone. So he said, I became a substitute teacher. He said, outside these walls, you could have never convinced me what's going on inside these walls. And he said, I cry at night. He said, I've gotten past that now, and I'm very angry, and I want to talk to school boards. He said, but I'm going to tell you, you could have told me all this a year ago, and I would not have listened because it's too hard to believe. So I convinced him. I said, please don't do that, because if you start talking to the school board, you will no longer be a substitute. And it's pretty much going to fall on deaf ears. And I said, we need you where you are. We need parents and teachers anonymously to send us information. He was sharing how the kids are given 90s on tests and they're not answering any questions. Because guess what? The schools can't fail them. They lose money. And charter schools especially, which most of Georgia is charter, they sweep a lot under the rugs because they lose their money if they're not performing. But guess what else charters do? Charters have flexibility. They can experiment. What have we been doing on our children? We've been experimenting. We've been bringing in all these outside entities and NGOs to get involved in our schools, the social emotional learning, the restorative justice, all of the things that we're bringing into our schools that a traditional school would not have had. He was a great example of someone who stepped out and got involved, literally, and is overwhelmed. And so how do you get that message out? And it doesn't matter how small your county is. He's in a very small county in Georgia. And so that was a big wake-up call. And so I'm not even in the building, but I have dug into this for so long and understand so much of it. I understand that we're beginning to get rid of grades. We won't have letter grades anymore. We're going to start moving into more technology and virtual reality. You know what you can do with a child when they're wearing a virtual reality headset? You can totally take them over. You can flash a light over here and put them where you want. You can take away their consciousness. Think about that. That's what this entire goal is about. We know that as Christians, right? So we are headed there. I have a presentation that was given to one of our counties in Georgia, and within that budget, which they have not activated yet, was the cost for virtual reality glasses. So we are moving into really, I think, some, I don't want to say scary, but I mean, some times that we are truly moving. We're not academics anymore. We're not. They don't want people who can learn. They want people they can control. And that's what we're doing. And you said that earlier. That's where we're headed. Equity, it's all about equity. Think about all these mental health organizations that are involved in our schools. Go to their websites. There's nothing on there but equity. Go to a lot of the publishers of our curriculum. It's all equity. Everything is based on equity. What is equity? It replaces the American dream. It gets rid of individualism. It gets rid of AP classes eventually, of letter grades. It teaches that whites are responsible for everything that's wrong in our country. We tell little white children that their skin is an issue. It hurts people. So if you become homosexual, you will be celebrated. Do you know that 94% of minors that are transitioning are middle-class white girls? This is so evil, but it's so stealth. That's why parents don't see it and can't understand how deep it is. So there's a lot going on. It gets rid of absolute truth. This is hard and it is overwhelming. Look at what we're talking about. Parents are probably going, oh my gosh, what do I even do with that? Well, you start a little bit at a time and you start educating yourself and you call like Truth in Education or another group. It's not about us. It's about you. We want to help parents. Homeschooling is exploding. And actually, I'm working in as well because this is such a heavy topic. We're looking for solutions. So we're partnering and helping a group called SkyTree. It is a alternative to Scholastic. Look how woke Scholastic has gone. So SkyTree is partnered with Kirk Cameron, and they're going to be book fairs. So we're trying to help them. We're trying to promote them and see what we can do to help them. So we got to come up with alternatives too. There's a lot of Christian models out there. There's a lot of school options outside of public school. You don't have to homeschool your own child. There are a lot of options. So I'm going to recommend people go to Public School Exit. I'm on their advisory board. I love that plan. Do you know, are you familiar with them?
Absolutely.
Alex Newman's on my advisory board. Dran Reese is on my board. And I'm on their advisory board. And I cannot say enough about them. And they have a lot of information and resources for you if you're considering it. And then I would recommend finding someone that's already doing that to mentor you, to come alongside of you. Because you know what? The things we hear, my child won't be socialized. Well, right now, I want to say, do you really want your child socialized with the schools? I don't think so. But I've been around hundreds of homeschool students. They're socialized unless a parent decides not to socialize. I can't do it. Well, you know, you only need a high school degree to homeschool. Everything is laid out for you. And if you can't do it, there are others. There's co-ops. There's places you can go. So it sounds a little bit scary to people who haven't done it, but you can do it. And I know you can do it. And then we need to pray because there are a lot of parents that can't pull their children. And we know that. So we need to be there for them. I'm going to tell you my concerns about school choice. School choice is being pushed by the United Nations. The main individual that's the face of school choice, Corey DeAngelis, is tied to the United Nations. This has been in play for years. What is going to truly change if we do school choice? The federal dollars are never going to stop. So where are you really going to go? We've already in Georgia lost most of our private schools and our Christian schools because they've taken government money. They've taken either COVID money or Title I money. Well, this is government money. This is going to the state first. It's not going to us first. So it's going to have ties at some point. The other thing is, if you understand public-private partnerships, the state cannot give money to a private school because it's in Georgia, you can't do that. It's against our Constitution. But if you set up a public-private partnership, you can do that. Well, who runs these charter schools? They're management organizations, and they're for profit already. I see this as a profit-based model. The Walton Family Foundation gives billions to charter schools and school choice. Why would they do that? Because they're going to make money. Guess what they're into? They're into healthcare. We're going to have school-based health clinics. And they're into the LGBTQ movement. So who's going to make the kickbacks on all those pharmaceuticals that are going to be prescribed in these school health-based clinics? I'm concerned. If people want to do that and they keep it among the public schools, I don't personally think it'll make a difference. I think the goal is to privatize them all. But I'm concerned about homeschooling and the Christian schools that are going to be coming up, because I believe that they're going to get caught in the snare, and we're going to lose our last freedom, and that's to be able to homeschool our children and to make those decisions that God gave us the right to do and the responsibility to do.
And that concludes another episode of Dr. Dan's Freedom Forum. Join the battle on our website, www.drdansfreedomforum.com. The right to own private property that cannot be arbitrarily confiscated by the government is the moral right and constitutional basis for individual freedom. Right this morning.